Northern Brewer is the proud sponsor of the Brewing Network's Jameel Show. They have the widest selection of domestic and imported malts and grain, hops from all over the world, and a full line of liquid and dry yeast. No matter what style of beer you're brewing, Northern Brewer has the ingredients you need, plus fast shipping and expert staff to help you make the best beer possible. Please visit northernbrewer.com for all things homebrew.
All homebrewers have a favorite commercial beer, but not everyone can make it. Welcome to the show that teaches you how, where you can challenge two masters, Jameel Zainasheff and Tasty McDole. This is the Jameel Show. Can you brew it? Now here's Jameel.
Hey, howdy. Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Hey, sports fans. Oh, we got the wrong show.
Sports fans. Hey, dear. Yeah. Hey, dear. How about them Niners? How about them Packers?
Notice it's getting cold outside. It's even cold out here in California, which I call good brewing weather.
You know? Yes. Gets very nipply.
Nipply. It's a good time to ferment. Think about lagers.
Speaking of nipply, we have the lovely Kim Wood on the line.
What's up?
You say that?
What, nipply? I know. It's offensive, isn't it?
No, it's great. It's totally true. First thing I do when I come home from work is take off that bra and just throw it on the floor.
And go, I have nipples. Look.
Well, nipple. Just one.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. I recently saw someone with pictures. Three, and he showed it to me, and it really made my stomach churn.
Anyway.
And we're back.
Anyway,
we are live. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Speaking of three nipples, our fine sponsor, I'm sure Jake has three nipples.
You know, if he doesn't,
probably got like six, like a hog or like a
those Midwestern guys.
Or like a fine cat. You know,
if he doesn't, I kind of want to buy him some.
Right, he should have six.
He deserves six nipples.
He should be able to suckle like
that man deserves six.
Chip
nipples.
And the rest of them. That
you
whole
could
squad.
Get some of those on AdamandEve.com.
You probably get them on AdamandEve.com.
I just pulled a tasty.
No. Our fine sponsor, regardless of the number of nipples they have, they've got all. I bet you they got more nipples than you could suckle at. They've got all the great homebrewing equipment that you could need, homebrewing, wine making, and just superior quality of service makes them a fantastic place to buy from. They have supported our show since the beginning, and they've stuck with us for 6 years, believe it or not. And I think they do it because they just love the homebrew community, and they figure we're part of it, so they might as well support us and help out. So they're totally the best. Those guys and gals at Northern Brewer, I love them. And hopefully you will too, and I think you will if you go ahead and place an order with them. You will be surprised at the level of customer service, the quality of the products, the selection of inventory. Good folks. So, and if for any reason, somehow, you're not pleased, you let them know, and they're the kind of people that make it right and make sure you're happy. So I love those guys and gals. Good people.
Me too. Whenever I order from them, I love the handwritten notes.
Well, see, that's because it's you, Kimmy.
No, it's because it's for the show.
Oh. That's right. They did for this show, all of the ingredients were donated by Northern Brewer.
They supply us goodies to make sure that we're... And, the interesting thing is, they'll supply us stuff because they have, one of the greatest selections out there. And it might be something they don't have. You may have to go somewhere else for it. But, if you're looking to brew the beers that we do on this show, they tend to have everything you could possibly need. They got the great British malts. They've got... great European malts, the great American malts. They got all the hops. They got everything. So check them out.
They have more than just mini nipples.
Right. They're just not a collection of nipples. They're great, great brewing folks. Speaking of collection of nipples, how's Andy doing, Kim?
bag of nipples.
Andy's Andy. I don't know. I was hollering at him, and I don't know where he is.
Yeah, what were you saying? Get in. Come in from outside and quit howling at the moon. That's what you're saying.
Pretty much. Yeah. I was Andy! And he wasn't paying attention. I think he's still freaked out from the earthquake last night, so he's like peeing himself by a tree out
he's
in our 28.
Very much like a stray dog.
Yeah.
He's probably humping the neighbor's dog. Did you check for that?
That's why I always say, stand back, ladies. He's all mine.
Ladies and dudes, so sweet looking man you got there.
I'll get him up here for a cameo. How does that sound?
Yeah,
sounds
make
horrible.
Sure he's wearing his cameo. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That his cameo costume from the 1980s.
Yeah.
No, sorry. All right.
Hey, what's the beer we're doing today?
Yeah.
Let's get back on track.
5 minutes into the show.
You're already off
the
rails.
Usually it's 10 minutes into the show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We have 10 minutes of screwing around.
I didn't want to set this this rocket ship straight.
The introduction. We have the polite
nipple
banter.
Talk.
The nipple talk.
Yeah,
then we have
the shameless heretic plugs.
What we've all been doing. A little shameless heretic plug.
We haven't got there yet.
You know what we've all been doing, and you know then we get into the you know what's our challenge. So we're not quite there yet. It's only 5 minutes, 6 minutes in.
Sorry.
And Tasty, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been doing a little bit of brewing here and there. I'm still making this American Pale Ale over and over again, trying to. See what I can do on different things with the malts, and
that sounds pretty boring.
It's pretty boring, yeah. It's not an exciting beer, but
Kim, what have you been doing?
Yeah,
anything exciting?
Working, being boring.
Oh my God, you guys, you're killing me here.
I've been down there in your area and trying to schedule a show when I'm actually going to be in the studio because that's way more fun. And
come
you guys
on
are
down
just
to my
busy.
Area, baby.
What?
Come on down to my area, baby.
Yeah. Inappropriate. Highly inappropriate.
Oh, that one crosses the line, please.
Yeah. We'll talk about this later.
No one ever asked what I've been doing.
Oh, yeah, we don't really care. All right, so what's our challenge for today, JP?
Our challenge for today is we have been asked to brew one of the most popular beers from our friends at the 21st Amendment. Mm-hmm. San Francisco, mm-hmm. Back in Black.
Back in Black,
IPA.
You know, the Back in Black IPA, when it very first came out,
yeah.
I think immediately I got a request for Can You Brew It for Back in Black.
I don't doubt it. It's one of the beers that we see talked about most on the forum and in the chat room consistently.
Well, you know,
across all brewers.
You know, one of the things I am really disappointed in is that we used to make the effort to contact the people who made the request and have them call in and leave the a voicemail of them requesting the beer.
Right.
And that was awesome. And then we kind of got lazy and we switched over to just reading the email that they had originally sent in.
Well, I don't think it was laziness so much as
a few
people.
We don't even do any of that.
No.
We don't even go like, I don't know. Somebody emailed it in and it's like, whatever.
Well, there were a few people that we couldn't get a hold of. And so we're not going to hold up. We're not going to put off a show because we can't get Joe Schmo homebrew.
No. But there would be like six of them. And then we also have to brew the beer. So we know we're going to do the beer when we have the interview.
Sure.
And at that point, that's when I would send out the requests, and if I didn't get a response from the first person, I'd send it to the next one and the next one. And usually, if we get a beer request, we get like six requests for the same beer.
Well, it sounds
and I would
like,
just keep hitting them until somebody responded back and said, "Yeah, I'll call in."
It sounds
and then
like,
the voicemail was always full.
Well, it sounds like you want to take that on again, is what it sounds like.
I do because I love that part of it.
Okay, well, go ahead. You have now been delegated the responsibility for finding
like
us
I don't
a
have
caller.
Enough to do
exactly.
but the thing is. You know, this is a listener-driven show, and every beer we do is requested by somebody, and, you know, seriously requested by someone. We don't do these just because, that sounds easier, that's a buddy of ours. I mean, every beer, you know, I've requested one, and, you know, people give me crap for requesting one myself, which was like, oh, dude, come on, it's a beer I love. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want to get back to that where we play those audio clips of people requesting them.
Well,
because it's truly, it's all listener driven.
I agree with you.
And here's the other thing I'll say. If you get a frickin' email from me asking you to call in and give the request and do it on a voicemail, you better frickin' do it.
Because I'm Jamal.
No, because we're doing all this other work. You could do a little bit for us.
Give
us a hand.
It's easy. Just write down what you want to say.
Don't ignore the email. If you're really uncomfortable about doing it, send an email saying, I love the show or whatever. I'm just, you know, uncomfortable being on the air or whatever.
Right.
Or, you know,
send me an email to paraphrase.
No. I want somebody recording. Yeah.
Okay.
Because we got the emails and we stopped doing that. I mean, we still got the emails. Why aren't we reading those?
That's a good question.
Too much effort?
I don't know.
You can't, like, be troubled to read the email.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's nothing like being put on the spot air.
It would require me to send you the email is probably the...
It would probably be that, but I tell you what's really comfortable is being put on the spot right now. So
you
go
like
ahead.
You guys, sorry to break in, but this is really fucking boring.
Shit!
Well,
let's do something about it.
Oh, just kidding. No,
that's why I don't like you, Kim. That's why I don't like you.
Just one of the
I'm trying
reasons.
To channel Matt Staley tonight and just give you shit and be all talkative.
Oh,
and
I don't like you.
Your mojo, Jamil.
That's why I don't like you, because you're like
that's
Matt Staley now.
Well, I don't like you. He doesn't like you because of that, and you only have two nipples.
Right. Give me Andy and his six nipples anytime.
Andy just came in here, and I don't know if you heard him, but the mic's open, and he's like, I have to pee.
Yes.
And I'm like, come on. Really?
I love that man. He's a good guy.
He's a little touch of class in every room.
That's right.
Why is he telling you that?
All right.
So, what are we doing?
Let's do this. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, we will hear from Sean O'Sullivan at 21st Amendment about brewing Black and Back. Black and Black. Back after this.
In a world where everything has been lost.
What happened to the city? It's in ruins.
Only one man has the ancient knowledge to restore civilization.
I need a drink. Oh no, the liquor store's been ransacked.
You looking for beer, stranger? Boy, all the liquor got drunk up in the first 25 minutes of the apocalypse.
Wait, there's still some bottles over... Oh, no. Those are non-alcoholic beer.
I reckon you better stick to arrowroot tea and a desperate nomadic existence like the rest of us.
People, I'm a home brewer. I know how to make alcohol.
Oh,
it can't be done. Come with me if you want the beer. Okay, I'm gonna need some big plastic buckets.
He is the chosen one. The prophecies say that he's gonna get us wasted.
Someone start heating water.
From the creators of Northern Brewer, the people who brought you 7.99 Brew Saver shipping, massive selection, and superior customer service comes...
Love craft beer, you're already a heretic.
The very first thing we did when we started looking at the beers that we would brew, we got rid of all those recipes. We started from scratch. We've been pilot brewing the most creative things that we could think of and the most interesting things. We've completely gone away from style.
Heretic Brewing Company is opening this spring in Pittsburgh, California, and you can be a part of it. Visit hereticbrewing.com and facebook.com/hereticbrew. Get the latest updates on the brewery and upcoming beers. Show everyone how you celebrate great beer as a heretic.
It's a fairly powerful word. Being a heretic, that means you're not settling for ordinary beer. You are going with flavorful, creative, bold, interesting beers. A heretic is looking for the best beers out there.
Be a heretic. Don't drink ordinary beer. When Blickman Engineering set out to design a great brewing stand, they knew it had to be strong, adaptable, and last for a lifetime. The top-tier brewing stand is now proudly available at BlickmanEngineering.com. It grows with your brewing skills and equipment. Start with 5-gallon coolers on its heavy-gauge stainless steel shelves. Then move all the way up to 30-gallon pots on the high-output burner tiers. Speaking of burners, the custom Blickman Engineering top-tier burners are extremely powerful, efficient, and amazingly quiet. They have safety stops to center your pot, and they'll last a lifetime and won't rust. The top-tier brewing stand allows virtually infinite combinations from traditional gravity systems to two tiers to completely horizontal. Configure your stand the way you want and have the freedom to change it at any time in the future. Your brewing stand should adapt with you, not force you to learn a new process. Visit BlickmanEngineering.com today to configure your top-tier brewing stand and to find a local Blickman retailer. You'll be surprised with all the flexible features and the competitive price. Start brewing with Blickman from the top tier.
Now back to Can You Brew It?
John O'Sullivan from the 21st Amendment joins us today on Can You Brew It? Sean, thanks for coming in, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. I've been looking forward to this interview for a long time. This will probably be an hour-long recording, but I'll edit it down to like 15 minutes.
We've been talking about doing this episode of the show for some time now, so it's exciting to finally be together here in the studio.
Thank you. It's exciting to have you.
Thank you.
How's everything going at the 2-1-A, man?
You know, the 21st Amendment is doing great. We've got baseball going on right now down at the pub on 2nd Street, just two blocks away from the park. And our can sales, our cans and our draft, the production end of the business has been going great as well. We actually are having a problem keeping up with demand, which is always a good problem to have.
That's true. I've been unable to find Bitter American for months.
Well, it's Bitter American is actually not out anymore. It's a
That's
late
why.
Winter seasonal, but and we've gotten a lot. It was a hugely popular beer, and we've gotten a lot of requests to bring it. So we've decided to bring it back as a year-round staple.
Oh, nice.
Starting next spring.
That's
so
great. That's a good beer.
It'll be back.
One of the staples in your canned lineup is the Back in Black.
Yes, the Back in Black, the Black IPA, or Cascadian Dark Ale, as you wish.
Do you have a preference? Some people do.
You know, I actually prefer Black IPA. This was a long struggle that we had internally discussing what we were going to call this beer. Mm-hmm. Is it a Black IPA? Is it a Black Ale? And Cascadian Dark Ale, and we felt that even though it's a bit of an oxymoron because you're describing a beer as being black and then you're calling it a pale ale, India pale ale, that we felt that the consumer, you people out there in drink land, were
it's a good land to be in,
were would probably it'd be best describe the beer as calling it a black IPA. So that's what we call it, JP. We call it Back in Black, Black IPA.
Nice.
Yeah.
How would you describe this this beer to someone who hasn't had it before?
Well, it's got a slight roasty. It's a dark beer, so it's very black. And it's got, when you first smell it, you get the aroma, it's got a slight malty sweetness with maybe a real soft roastiness from the Carafa malt that we use and from Weyermann. And it's... But it does have hop aroma, and that's present. And then when you actually drink the beer, it's definitely got it's got some pronounced bitterness, but there is an aggressive malt backbone there. Not sweet. I'm not a big fan of using a lot of crystal malt in this beer, or our regular IPA, our proofread IPA. And so, and then you get a little bit of that slight roasty chocolate flavor, and then it dissipates out fairly dry. Any of the beers that we make at the 21st Amendment, I really try to make them finish dry. I want this kind of to be a roller coaster of flavor in your mouth. I have the whole experience with the aroma as well. The best thing, you know, when a beer finishes dry, you want to have another one, mm-hmm. and another one, and another one. I can keep going. And another
Do
one.
It.
Yeah. So that's kind of the goal with all the beers that I brew. But so this beer is fairly similar to the Brew for Your Die, with some different hopping techniques as well as the use of Carafa from Weyermann, which is the dark malt.
And did you think about how the flavors would kind of meld together first, or you kind of just went into the brewery and said, hey, let's do this?
You know, I have to give credit to our former head brewer, Jesse Houck, who now is working at Drake's Brewing Company. He's actually the one that came up with this recipe. Hmm. And so when we were first talking about doing this, we were not really aware of a lot of black IPAs that were out there. We were kind of operating in our own little vacuum. You know, there's a big debate that goes on, along with the naming debate of what to call this beer, whether Cascadian Dark Air or Black IPA or whatever you want to call it, with like where this beer originated. I mean, some people think it was back in 1994 with Greg Noonan, the great former, you know, great brewer from Vermont Pub and Brewery, started this beer, called it Black Watch IPA. And then there was a home brewer up in Oregon, and he's still alive. I just saw him last week. Abraham Goldman Armstrong is a home brewer, and he was one of the he's the guy that started the whole like Cascadian Dark Ale name. So there's this odd debate that goes on. So it's actually kind of interesting. It's a little bit of a controversial beer because you don't know. Yeah, people don't know what to call it, and people don't know where it originated. So it's like, you know, as brewers out there and beer bloggers, they're all up in, you know, where did this come from?
Right.
So, yeah, that's the story behind that.
All right, sounds great. Well, that's the beer that we're talking about on Can You Brew It today. So what kind of batch size do you guys brew over there?
Well, at the pub, we would brew 12-barrel batches, 370 gallons. And then... out in Cold Spring, where the production brewery is, we do 400 barrel batches. So I'm going to stick with the 12 barrel batch, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Great.
And so this beer has four different malts in it. Mm-hmm. We use our pale malt, silo malt, which is from RAR, and then we use Crisp Munich, as well as Weyermann Karen Munich 2, and then Weyermann Carafa 2 D husks. So there's a total of 925 pounds of malt, total malt in this batch size, this 12-barrel batch size. We put 720 pounds of pale malt from the silo in there, 110 pounds of Crisp Munich, 55 pounds of Weyermann Karen Munich 2, and then 40 pounds of Weyermann Carafa 2 dehusked. And the reason we're using the dehusk malt is that it doesn't add a lot of astringency. It's more of color and slight roast flavor. And that's really the reason behind that. We didn't want to make this beer. I think sometimes there's a tendency to make this beer kind of an American super porter in some ways, where you get a lot of bitterness up front and all that. And then, you know, clog it up with a lot of dry hop aroma. So the great thing about using the carafe is that really backs off on that roast component. Hmm. The starting gravity on this beer is we work in Plato. It's 17.2 Plato.
Okay.
It's comes in at around 6.8% alcohol. Final gravity is around 4.5 Plato. As far as the hops go, we do bittering hops, and we do aroma hops, a mid-addition hop, and whirlpool, as well as dry hop. We kind of run the same hop program off for all these beers because we know how to do it. We've been doing it for a long time. So we do a 90-minute boil. We don't add any, by the way, any salts or anything like that. We just use the straight Hetch Hetchy water that we get in San Francisco. It's a slightly soft, minerality is low. It's great brewing water, some of the best water in the world.
Do you just run it through a carbon filter?
No, we don't even do that.
Really?
No, we just run it right through. So the bittering hop is Warrior, and we add 36 ounces of that. I'm looking at an old recipe here. This is a 17 alpha acid hop. That's when Warriors are pretty high. And then the 20-minute left of boil is Centennial, and we add 48 ounces of that. That's an 8 alpha acid hop. And then the final Whirlpool edition is 32 ounces of CTZ, or Columbus, Tomahawk, Zeus, whatever you're calling it from whoever you're getting it from. And that's 13.9 alpha. I would put, we don't calculating what the actual bitterness is kind of a, it's an odd thing. I mean, we base it on some early recipes that we used to do at the 21st Amendment, and that's how we go about and using that information and that data to basically build recipes off of what we've done in later brews. So I would think this is a probably around 68 IBUs. Hmm. But that's taking to a lot of other things, which the most straight formulas don't, in my opinion, where there's perceived bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with a lot of just the hop, the bulk of the hops that you're putting in there, as well as when you dry hop the beer. So you're always going to get that flavor where it's going to be perceived that it is bitter, but it's not measurable bittering units. So I hope I confused you on that.
I did. I'm not even listening.
I know. You're like down the street right now in that car of yours. Fucker.
Do you whirlpool?
We do whirlpool. We whirlpool for 15 minutes at the end of boil, and then we allow the whole thing to sit for 45. And usually that's all. The reason for that is that the settling in the kettle probably occurs sooner, but we're also running around doing other things before we get the wort over. And we don't get that big of a drop in temperature. You know, we're boiling. We're not 212, 213. And then by the time we knock out, we're around 208. So we don't get a lot. There's no, you know, concerns about DMS or anything like that. Slow wort cooling causing those issues. The yeast we use, we go back and forth between the WLP, the White Lab 001.
Mm-hmm.
And because we have to use dry yeast in Cold Spring because of their facility, we use the Saffler US05, which is the dry version of your WLP 001. And that's been working out really well for us. We like that yeast a lot. I know people sometimes kind of put their thumbs up at dry yeast, but in certain situations, especially with using an old lager brewery that we're doing in Cold Spring, it's vital that we're able to repitch constantly. We pitch a new strain every time. The color of the beer is 35 plus SRM. I mean, it's a dark beer. Need to tell you that. And I think that's all I got.
What fermentation temperature do you guys roll at?
We ferment at 68 degrees. And that's pretty much, for this yeast, is what we do all the time.
Mm.
Oh, we dry hop. So the program at the 21A is we'll probably have an initial fermentation of 3 to 4 days. 4 days, probably. And then we'll dry hop the beer. And this beer, we dry hopped it with 8 pounds of Centennial and 4 pounds of Simcoe. And the way we do it, as most craft brewers, is that we dry hop in the fermenter, and then we basically cap the whole thing off.
Mm-hmm.
And usually this is about a half to a full point before terminal gravity, so we get a little bit of activity from the carbonation that's occurring within the vessel, turbidity in the fermentation process to keep the yeast keep the hops in suspension. And then we'll let it sit warm for 3 or 4 days, and then we'll chill it down to 32 degrees, and then we'll sit there for another week or so, and then we'll filter it. So, although we have been playing with finings, so that's been fun, yeah. And we do oxygenate, as most craft brewers do, and we run medical grade oxygen in there. It was on the cold side going into the fermenter. We mash at 154 degrees, which is pretty typical. We sort of go between 154 and 158 depending on the beer we're making. And that's it.
Sounds great. Now I'm thirsty, man. You want to get a beer?
Well, why not?
All right, let's do it. Thanks, buddy.
Hi, this is Push from the Brewing Network, and I want to tell you about the Brewmaster's Warehouse and how you can get 10% off your next order. I'm a pretty techie guy, but I've never seen an online store like this. It's awesome. Go to brewmasterswarehouse.com and click on Brew Builder. You can whip up a custom recipe so easily even Sven could do it. Seriously, it's slick. You can share your recipe with your own logo and notes to the Brewmaster's database if you want. And the best part, it keeps a running tally of the beer you're building while you're doing it. Then, bam, click Buy Recipe and your cart is filled and ready to go with helpful suggestions in case you forgot something. This thing is amazing. Brewmaster's Warehouse is run the way a home brewer would do it, with great service, fast turnaround, and $6.99 flat rate shipping. Brewmaster's Warehouse and the Brew Builder blew me away. Check it out today at brewmasterswarehouse.com. I'm serious. And don't forget to put BNARMY in the discount code box for 10% off your order. Check out brewmasterswarehouse.com. Cheers.
Downtown Joe's, located in the historic Oberon Building in beautiful downtown Napa, California, offers an award-winning brewpub experience from 8:30 a.m. to 1 a.m. every day. For 15 years at the corner of 2nd and Main, Downtown Joe's has been voted best night spot 7 times and best brewpub for the last 4 years in a row. Brewmaster Colin Kaminsky's handcrafted ales, like his Tail Wagon Amber Ale and Double Secret Probation IPA, are the perfect accent to riverside dining, live music, and a relaxing outdoor patio. Don't miss the Beer of the Month, special rotating taps, and the BN Army Member Special. Wear your BN gear, get 10% off your beer. Visit downtownjoes.com to make reservations, peruse their extensive calendar of events, or just read more about their fantastic beers. Come enjoy the fine beer, food, and music. Downtown Joe's, the award-winning brew pub where you'll feel at home.
What does craft beer mean to you? Is it a delicious way to support your town's local brewer? Or perhaps it's the perfect beverage to pair with those delicious devils on horseback. Regardless of whether you're thinking of pints or pairings, pilsners or porters, craftbeer.com is the site where craft beer lovers come together to learn and share. Craftbeer.com is brought to you by the Brewers Association and celebrates the best of American craft beer and its brewers. Craftbeer.com is the best place to find craft beer events, recipes, great features, stories, the most up-to-date brewery listings, and resources for your next beer tasting or dinner, like style guidelines, pairing mats, and charts. Get the inside scoop on new beer releases and special events from today's craft beer insiders, and chime in to share your own knowledge, perfect pairings, road trips, recipes, and more. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer.
BN Army Hop Tech has a great discount waiting for you. Do you often find it difficult to find specific specialty ingredients for your homebrew recipes? Well, listen to this. Hop Tech stocks 59 different grains to choose from, 39 varieties of pellet hops, and 8 kinds of whole leaf hops. And Hop Tech not only carries Y yeast and White Labs yeast for you, but also Fermentus, 04, 5, 6, 23, 33, and T58 Belgian yeast, plus Cooper's, Nottingham, and Windsor yeasts. Got your recipe ready to go? Pick up some great brew gear like new long and short sleeved shirts, games, and more. Hop Tech's new website is being updated every day with new items. If you don't see it, call the shop. They're open 6 days a week. BN Army and AHA members get a 10% discount, and active military personnel get 15% off. Visit hoptech.com today for great selection, great service, and a great discount. Hoptech.com.
Now back to the challenge. Can you brew it?
We're back. All right. So during the break, God knows what happened.
It's a live radio
between
show.
Earlier,
everything happens.
Yeah.
I got to keep you on your toes.
People are drinking, doing weird things.
We're keeping up with the
and we're actually going to go ahead and like post this without editing it. Yeah, that's just our practice. We don't bother editing anything. And, it, you know, you can look at it as a positive. That
yeah,
we,
what you see is what you get. Yeah.
Right. Or that we're too lazy to edit it.
We're a bunch of lazy people.
Yeah, or it's one or the other. Well, and during the break, we tasted the pink and the purple.
That's right. Or as I call them, the lavender and the
lavender
strawberry.
And the strawberry. The unicorn and the rainbow. For me, I got to say, I call those cloned. There's a slight difference between the two. I would say that the pink is... just slightly higher carbonation. It's got a somewhat brighter hop character, a little brighter finish to it.
Why do you think that is? From the carbonation or what?
No, I just think, you know, overall. But they're you know, malt character, hop character, they're so darn in line that I call this cloned. I think they're... You know, two different batches of the same brew. I think, you know, if you took a batch that's been, you know, you know, brewed a couple of months ago, and, you know, one that's brewed, you know, a couple of months later, and then compared them. That's maybe the difference that you might get. You know, they're both excellent beers, but I think there's just subtle differences between them.
Yeah, it's more of an aging thing.
Yeah. What would you think, Tasty? So I call it right off. I call it cloned.
Well, yeah, I agree. The color is exactly the same, which I think
Says nice a lot ruby about the recipe. Highlights.
Yeah, I can't see any difference in the color.
Yeah, they're both you know, very beautiful.
Kim did a great job on clarity.
Garnets.
Thank
well,
you.
Yeah. If whichever one's yours, you know, it's like commercial clarity.
And the aroma. Both, you know, have a good uh-huh. aroma presence.
I got a little pleasant. Difference initially.
Yeah, but more, yeah.
But after, you know, a moment or two, they were exactly the same.
A little
I
bit
lost
of,
whichever difference
A little bit
they
of
were.
Gassing off. I, you know, shook the cup a little bit, and then they sort of stabilized.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Two beers, one cup.
I did that joke somewhere yesterday. Anyway.
Inappropriate.
Yeah.
Inappropriate again?
Or appropriate.
That's the thing you call inappropriate. All right, fine.
Yeah, so... You know, malt flavor, hop flavor. I don't know what I would change in the recipe. I'd say, yes, definitely cloned.
Right. Okay. JP?
I agree 100% with you two, fine, handsome young men.
There we go.
Thank you.
I think it's cloned.
JP's so good.
Well, thanks, Sully, for giving us the recipe.
Yeah, I think Jamil, you're right. You know, any difference is just subtle variations between batch to batch.
Right.
I think Kim did an excellent job, and I'm actually quite surprised.
Well, I'm not.
I was just going to say, yay, this is the first one that JP has actually said, oh, it's cloned, and now a backhanded compliment.
Since I met Kim and Andy, they both brought me beers. It was at, like, Downtown Joe's.
Yeah.
And Andy is just a wonderful guy. I love Andy. Yeah. He's smart. He's funny.
Very funny.
Attractive.
One,
wonderful
Very
person.
Funny.
But his beers do not compare to Kim's. And there's a reason why Kim is our Canyon Fruit Brewer. I mean, he's great. And the beers he makes are great, but they're not to the quality that Kim makes. And I realized that way back when, from the first beers that I tasted from Kim back at Downtown Joe's at the time. And that's why she's doing these beers for us, because she's a talented brewer. And... I completely lost where I was going because somebody kicked the cord.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
And I completely lost the audio when you were apparently saying nice things about
me. God.
No, we,
like, that's
we just paused.
JP hates me. He's like, oh, Jamil's saying something nice. I better kick out
no,
the audio.
No, you did an excellent job.
We repeated everything that you missed.
I don't know why Justin still...
No, blame it on Justin.
Okay,
go ahead.
Because you hate me.
That you do the show?
Fucking show, because every single time there's some screw up that I do that it's my... Last time we were doing Brew Strong Show...
Because people are supposed to drink when you screw up.
Well, I'm doing that a lot and I haven't eaten today because I'm poor. When we were doing Brew Strong Shows, you know the reason I couldn't archive the show? Because I was using slashes in the date. It was completely my fault because I'm stupid and I don't pay attention.
Instead of dashes,
and I do these shows so infrequently that I'm just an idiot. Like right now, I left the stupid window open. I'm a big mess right now. I should be put out of my misery.
No, we love you regardless. That's
but
that's
you know what? It's not just the show. Actually, the only error that I made in this brew day was because you called me on the phone, JP, and we talked for too long that I actually started boiling halfway through my sparge. So you fucked up that too.
Well, clearly I didn't because the beer's cloned.
Yeah, it's excellent beer. You've done a great job.
Put me down
as great malt character, great hop character.
Put me down
great
as assistant
finish,
brewer.
Great fermentation. I think it's really well done. I mean, would you have any other criticism or I mean, those aren't even criticisms. It's like, would you say anything else, Tasty? Would you want Kim to change this beer in any way?
No, I'm adding a line to the recipe here to boil during the spark.
Have JP call you anytime you brew it.
Oh, well, right. Say have a friend call you and take your time up or something.
That's right.
Well, friend, loosely, friend. No, I think that's really well done.
JP.
So, yeah, the found out that the strawberry was...
Strawberry Kush?
Kim's strawberry.
That's right.
And the purple was Sully's purple turgid...
How was your brew day, Kim?
My brew day was great, especially because you called. It was great. It was actually my birthday. I brewed it on my birthday. And JP called to say happy birthday. Thank you. You're such a good guy.
Okay. And then you got to the Whirlpool.
I'm sorry. I didn't care.
No, it was good, but it was my first. I don't do a lot of hoppy beers, and so I've never done Whirlpool hops before. And so I had to call a wonderful BN friend, Nate Smith, and say, hey, man, help me out with this.
Sure, you're calling Nate. That's fine.
Well, you guys, you know,
Nate, please. Help me, Nate.
I'd rather let Nate know that I don't know what the fuck I'm doing instead of you guys. So, anyway, he helped me out, like, figuring out backing down the hops and, you know, the whole, he suggested doing, like, calculating if it was a 90-minute hop addition, kind of calculating between what would have been an 80-minute hop addition versus a 90-minute hop addition to compensate for the Whirlpool hops and all of that. So he helped me out through that.
Right.
I just did the recipe, and it was a great brew day. Everything went well.
I think that's one of the trickiest things is accounting for the Whirlpool that commercial brewers do at temp, and anytime you're over like 170, 175, those hops are isomerizing, you're developing bitterness and all that, and you have to take that into account when you get those recipes. That's why people go, well, you know, it's far more bitter than, far less bitter than what they told me. They're adding some hops that I don't know about or something like that. Nah.
Well, a lot of people, when they add a flame-out hop, and then they immediately start chilling the beer.
Right.
Within 5 minutes, they're below
170. Especially immersion chiller.
Yeah.
It essentially just stops the isomerization right then and there.
Right. So and, if the recipe calls
can't
for
do that.
Flame out hop, you got to also say, well, how long is the Whirlpool rest? Let's go hand in hand.
Right.
And if you're not going to do that long Whirlpool rest, then you got to back those up into the boil.
Right. The same and I'll admit I was a little nervous about the Whirlpool because I haven't done it. And I only did a taste. You're going to be so mad at me. I only did a 10-minute Whirlpool.
Well, Sully does like a 40, I think. Didn't he say in the interview?
I know, but it's a commercial system, man. Come on.
What do you mean? Hops sitting in
your clock doesn't go to 40? Is that what you're saying?
They gotta, like, yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal. I don't know how much to...
40 would be confusing.
Shut the fuck up. I didn't know how much to back off the 90-minute hops if I was going to do a 40-minute Whirlpool.
Math is not your strong suit, then.
Oh, okay. You need to stop.
90 minus 40 minus...
No.
Well, Kim, why didn't you do a 40-minute Whirlpool?
All these nice things I said about Kim, and now she's going for the throat. Look at this.
You didn't have time, or what was
it? No, I'm going to be vulnerable here. I wasn't sure. Do you actually do you do the splitting thing of what's the difference between 90 minutes and 50 minutes and find the midway point between there to find your IBUs? Like, do you, I just wasn't sure. Like I said, I don't do a lot of hoppy beers, so.
Well, I think the thing
Shut
to...
Up.
You're so mean to me. I'm so nice to you. You're so mean to me. I tell you. It's like being married. That's what it's like. Poor Andy. That's what I have to say. Poor Andy. All right. So the thing is to keep in mind is that your mass of wort is smaller than a commercial brewery.
Yeah.
So when you are looking at the Whirlpool and the amount of Whirlpool time, you need to look at the brewery. You know, how much mass they have, how hot that is. You know, when we whirlpool our wort, it's, it's so close to boiling the entire 20 minutes that we whirlpool. Then we stand for another 20 or 30 minutes, and it's still really close to boiling. Maybe it's dropped down to like 200. And then, all our time that we spend knocking out, again, that's really, really close to 200. It's well over 170. On the homebrew scale, the smaller, mass of the wort versus the kettle geometry, you're actually getting more cooling a little bit faster in that smaller mass. That's why big people don't cool as fast as small people. It's all based on surface area. So, when you whirlpool... that's one of the reasons we recommend, various times based on, we cut back. We don't, when they tell us a 20-minute whirlpool, maybe we do a 15 or a 10.
Yeah.
Just, comparing a, you know, a 30 or 60 barrel batch to, you know, 5 gallons or 10 gallons?
Well, I tend to do exactly what the, when I do the cloning, I do exactly what they say. They do 30 minutes, I do 30 minutes. Uh-huh. And I, at the end of the whirlpool, I always measure the wort to see what the temperature is. And I haven't done, I've been doing this for like 6 months, so it doesn't include the cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, obviously it's going to drop more if the ambient's going to, you know, it's windy and it's a rainy day and all, you know, I'm outside and it's going to affect that. If you're a commercial bird, you're typically inside and things are pretty consistent.
Are you still over 170 probably
Whole time? I'm 195.
Yeah.
And it's the lowest I've been.
Right.
Because, I mean, I have like a big, heavy, you know, thick kettle. And
well, you know, the higher the temperature, the faster the isomerization, I would imagine.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So. And then, you know, a lot of the commercial guys are spinning it for a long period of time.
Right, right.
You know, we're not spinning it, so they're going to get...
Oh, you're not at all?
I do, you know, so I do a whirlpool.
Okay.
I do that like
a spoon or...
Yeah, with a spoon.
Okay.
5 minutes. When I flame out, I throw in the flame out hops. Then I just wait 5 minutes. So I just,
right.
Just call time out.
Uh-huh.
After 5 minutes, I go over and then I, you know, take the lid off. Give it a good, too good a whirlpool, just, you know, way too fast.
Right.
And then I just let it go for the next, you know, 25 minutes.
So. Let's do this. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll do the recipe, we'll wrap this up, and then we'll be on to the next show. And Kim, if you could hang with us for the next show, that would be appreciated too.
All right, we'll see. You know, Andy's cooking dinner like a good boy should, we'll see.
Man.
Stop dropping your mic down a well, too, by the way.
I'm sorry.
Back after this.
Hi, this is John from Grain and Grape in Melbourne, Australia. This has been a big year for us. We've just celebrated our 21st birthday and we've been voted best home brew shop in Australia. We reckon that makes us pretty much the best brew shop in the Southern Hemisphere. Now we've got the ultimate fix for all you space poor, time poor and lapsed brewers. The all-in-one Braumeister is now at Grain and Grape and it's a beauty. There are 20, 50 and 200 litre systems. It lets you complete a temperature controlled mash, boil and cool, all within the same stainless steel mains powered unit. So if you live in an apartment, you don't have the time to complete a traditional brew day or are just plain lazy, you can be brewing beautiful all-grain beer more quickly than ever. We're also now making our own range of small batch fresh work kits on the 200 litre system right here in the warehouse. Just one last thing. Mention the Brewing Network next time you're ordering online or over the phone to receive freight free on your next order of up to 15 kilos. Check out grainandgrape.com.au for conditions.
Hey, what are you doing, man?
Writing a review of WLP 400.
What? You're reviewing yeast?
Yeah. White Labs has home brewer reviews of all their strains. Are you new to these interwebs? Check it out.
That's awesome.
White Labs, your source for great yeast, invites all brewers to visit whitelabs.com to read and write your own reviews of all their yeast strains. Get real-world tips and tricks from other brewers who have made the most of their vials and post your own experiences. It's another way White Labs brings you closer to the best yeast on the planet.
And send. There you go. You misspelled flocculate, dude.
What?
White Labs. It's all in the vial.
Hi, I'm Jamel Zanishev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Home Brewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your home brew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, Cretans. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
In a world where everything has been lost.
What happened to the city? It's in ruins.
Only one man has the ancient knowledge. challenge to restore civilization.
I need a drink. Oh no, the liquor store's been ransacked.
You looking for beer, stranger? Boy, all the liquor got drunk up in the first 25 minutes of the apocalypse.
Wait, there's still some bottles over... Oh, no. Those are non-alcoholic beer.
I reckon you better stick to arrowroot tea and a desperate nomadic existence like the rest of us.
People, I'm a home brewer. I know how to make alcohol.
Oh, it can't be done.
Come with me if you want the beer. Okay, I'm gonna need some big plastic buckets.
He is the chosen one. The prophecies say that he's gonna get us wasted.
Someone start heating water. And
from the creators of Northern Brewer, the people who brought you 7.99 Brew Saver shipping, massive selection, and superior customer service comes...
Nico, listen, our lawyers said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months until the next meeting.
Kids, come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in the can.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Tasty Crack Can.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their new SnapLock stainless steel camlock fittings will make connecting your pump or heat exchanger quick and easy. Or check out their exclusive paintball tank-based draft beer equipment. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com to browse their vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific Time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
All right, so 2-1-A Back in Black is what we're doing today. And we also have a really wonderful sponsor that jumped on and stuck with us, talking about what Andy Wood really loves. What Andy Wood really loves.
And we have a special reader, special guest announcer, do we not?
Go!
Yes, you do.
Okay. It must have been my fault. I must have kicked the cord out again.
Fine quality show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yes, our
Are
fine
you ready?
Sponsor.
Hi, this is Harrison Ford. And I'd like to tell you about a special sponsor we have for the show. Get off my plane! Adam and Eve has been providing toys for the bedroom for many years, and I'd like to say I love them, and I've been purchasing from Adam and Eve for many years. You may know me from such movies as Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, and all the other movies I've been doing, Air Force One. Get off my plane!
Celebrity and voices impersonated.
If we can ask Mr. Ford to keep a relatively consistent microphone level, That would be really easy on the audio engineer.
How's this?
It's great. You actually sound more like Larry King, but go ahead.
Just make sure that you enter the code on adamandeve.com. And don't forget their mobile site, m.adamandeve.com, for special treats on your cell phone. Again, Jamil, J-A-M-I-L.
That's actually for Bruce Strong.
Yeah, it's actually C-Y-B-I.
C-Y-B-I.
That's what I said, God damn it! Get off my plane!
Mr. President.
Great.
I don't know what to say.
I'm so high. Thank you.
All right, so AdamandEve.com. You get 50% off of any one item. When you are just about any one item, when you enter CYBI, you get 3 free adult DVDs, you get a free extra gift, and you get free shipping. So you get, you know, buy one item for half price, and you get a whole load of crap for free.
That's true.
And it's good stuff, you know, and the pricing isn't, every time I order, you know, somebody offers me a coupon for like a 50% off, I'm thinking, well, they must be charging twice as much as it's worth.
Well, yeah, that's the natural thing, right?
No,
right.
That's priced reasonably. They got regular prices.
I've checked the website, It's actually quite reasonable. Yeah. So I was like, I'd pay that for that. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, they got good pricing. It's no wonder they're like the giant king of this kind of part of the
industry. They're
number
one.
Oh, they got to be. Yeah.
Well, and if you're at work and you want to check them out online, but you don't want to get caught or you want to get busted by your work firewall.
On your phone. Mobile.
Check out that mobile site. It's really, really well done. It's m.adameve.com, or just go to adameve.com on your cell phone, and it'll just kind of redirect you there. So,
well, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a guy, gal.
Or Harrison Ford.
Transgender, whatever, yeah. You know.
If you're
whatever,
alive and have sex organs, you're going to love this.
Exactly.
Even if you're alive and you don't have sex organs.
It's a human condition to enjoy sex. So, you know, we're fine with, you know, however you swing it.
Why not make it the best sex you've ever had?
Yeah, you know, give it a try.
Life's
they're
too short.
Yeah, good folks, and they're providing good service. So don't.
And they also make excellent. If you just order the things from there and turn them into tap handles, like you don't use them for sexual reasons. That'd be gross.
Oh, like you wouldn't? Yeah.
I have one of those.
Excuse me, I'm gonna go get the tap handle.
Even if you're kind of the guy that shoots first and asks questions later, Harrison Ford joke. AdamEve.com, everybody.
Listen to all of you. Don't
guys. You guys are ruining my show.
It was ruined 5 years ago. Before
that's right. As soon as I talked, it was ruined. All right. So 2-1-A back in black. Bag size is always six U.S. gallons at the end of the boil, which is how we've done it for years. 75% efficiency. In this case, 90-minute boil. You're going to start with 77.8% or 5.58 kilograms of a domestic two-row, 11.9% or 850 grams Munich malt, 6%, 430 grams of Cara Munich 60, and 4.3% or 310 grams of Carafa Special. The Carafa Special is the huskless Carafa. Gives you color, but not the roasty flavor. Hops, 16.5 grams Warrior, 17% alpha acid, 90 minutes. 22 grams Centennial, 8% alpha acid, 20 minutes. 15 grams Columbus, 13.9% alpha acid, 0 minutes. And these are all pellets. 29 grams. Simcoe, 12% alpha acid, dry hop, and the 58.5 gram Centennial, 10.5% alpha acid, dry hop. Why do we have 8% Centennial and 10.5% Centennial? It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's probably what was available.
Yeah, generally you buy your hops and they're all the same alpha acid, but that's kind of strange. Fermented out with the White Labs WLP-01. If you're trying to, you know, I believe the canned product, that's done with a dry yeast, the Safale US-05. They use the dry yeast on that. There's a subtle difference between the two. I think the Brewpub uses, maybe they use the Saff Ale as well.
They did when I was there.
Okay. Then it's a Saff Ale US05 that you would use on this. And then the Sack Rest is at 154 Fahrenheit. And did you have any other details for us, Kim, on fermentation or anything like that? Dry hopping?
Well, yeah, just like I said, first of all, for the first hop edition, I brought it down to 80 minutes, compensated for the hot whirlpool. And so adjusted the amount in hops based off of that. And
shouldn't it go Shouldn't it go longer? A 90-minute addition, shouldn't it be extended, like 110, 120?
No, opposite. Because when you're in the hot whirlpool, it still is isomerizing some of the hops, and you don't want it to be too bitter. So I dropped it down to 80 minutes and calculated the difference between what 80 minutes and 90 minutes would have been.
But if they're adding it at 90...
And they're adding in their flame out, then you should do the same, right?
And then they have the extended whirlpool that adds to it.
Yeah.
So instead of 90, it'd be like 100, 110. I don't think it matters.
Well,
the difference between the two bittering levels is minuscule.
That's a really good point. I'm going to throw Nate Smith under the bus on that one because he said I should bring it down to 80.
There's the problem. You're asking Nate instead of me.
Yeah, well, you don't have my email address? What's going on?
Yeah, and besides Nate,
I don't know who to contact. Nate's wonderful.
Nate Harrell got caught in the transmission anyway.
That's right.
No! It worked out fine. I cloned it, right? You guys said it was beautiful clone. So
it is cloned, that's for sure.
But no, you're probably right.
Nate's quite attractive, and that's what swayed you. I know that's how you go. I know we're not all as good looking as Nate is, but we have some knowledge of how to clone beers. Okay.
I don't know. But anyway, I dry hopped about 4 days into fermentation, which is what Sully talked about in his interview, I think. So it was still, everything was still kind of active, and it kept them in suspension. And that was really the only... I add, water additions. We have really soft water, and so all I added was some gypsum, because Sully was talking about how his water's pretty soft there. So that was it.
Well, my Miss Kim, you are quite the talented brewer.
Oh,
and you did an excellent job. Thank you very much.
Poor woman.
Hey! I did wear my pink apron. So.
Right. Well, women make fine brewers. That's all I got to say.
Right.
I got the attention to detail and the desire to do it, so they know what they're doing. There's no gender bias in brewing, if you ask me. So,
party line.
I'm not
surprised
that you're doing quite well.
For people that are brewing this recipe, it really, really like fresh. It's just awesome as a homebrew recipe. So,
yeah. Well, both the samples we had here were just great.
Yeah,
or homebrew. We're really pleased to have both.
Good examples of the style. Of course, I don't personally like black IPAs, but it's good. They're good examples.
Nor do I, but it is a solid example.
Kind of a non-chocolatey brown ale.
Yeah, let's put the chocolate in and make a real beer.
Wow.
Yeah, back
racist.
Off on the carafe.
Well, I'm not dissing you or 21A.
Let's Janice Brown it. Yeah.
That's 8% chocolate or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Tasty has a one-track mind when it comes to beers.
I just like the flavor of a more chocolate-based beer.
It was excellent. Thank you very much, Kim. You did a great job. We have any questions from the chat?
We do. Actually, this is from Afterlab. He says, is there any different sort of water chemistry you should do for an CDA / a BIPA versus a normal IPA?
Well, all right. So if anytime you're adding high color malts, they do tend to affect pH a little bit differently than all pale malts. You know, on something like this where it's just a bit of color, I don't think so. It'll be a little more acidic than it would all pale malts. So whatever adjustment you're doing to acidify your mash, I would not go quite as extreme on something like this. if you have a really acidic, you know, a light water that is, the mash ends up real acidic, then you might add just a touch of chalk to this to keep that those dark grains from being harsh. But, you know, it's not a lot. So.
It depends on your local water source. So maybe brew this once the normal way without doing any water additions and see if you would have to change it later. Is that what you mean?
Like I said, that's we have really soft water, and that's why I only did 1.5 teaspoons of gypsum and didn't add any calcium chloride or anything like that because of the dark malts.
Right.
I think that was the way to go. That's a benefit of actually knowing your water. Brewing enough different styles, too. Mm-hmm. My mistake is I brew a lot of darker beers. So when I want to brew lighter beers, I don't know my water well enough, so I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. So all my hops are really generally muted, and all my flavors are kind of muted because I don't really know. So brew a lot of styles. Get to know your water. Figure out what to do.
There's a book called in the Brew Network store called Brewing Classic Styles, and it's got all the different styles in there. You can go ahead and brew all of those.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't tell me my water table for my local area.
You'll learn.
Get your water report, JP.
Yeah, but it varies, though.
Well, get it every quarter, then. Come on. Be committed.
Yeah, I can't. I don't have enough money.
God, imagine how tough it is to be Andy Wood, right?
Dude, right?
Yeah.
Now you know why that guy's... Now you know why Andy's going so gray.
Why he's always, crying.
Every time the high-pitched voice, hits the dB meter, another gray hair.
Him, he's, holding on to his, crotch and crying.
We do have a question from someone named Wood. He says, with a black IPA, the hop flavor depends greatly on the amount of black malts used. How do you go about choosing hops that will meld nicely with this style?
I have the answer to that. It's that you keep your husband in the fucking kitchen and tell him to shut up.
Wow.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, in general, dark beers seem to mitigate the hop impact. I don't know what this the pH thing or the malt, the chocolate, the rose backbone is like
the tannin maybe
gets
the dark
in front of the hops.
Yeah,
I'm not main reason I don't like black IPAs is I don't like. Citrus type hops
that's what I was going to say is you need to avoid really citrusy hops because the citrus along with the black, anything really acidic along with really dark malts tends to be kind of harsh. We've been doing some experiments with souring beers and highly kiln malts, and the interesting thing is when you have a lot of roast malt character, the acidity really pops and becomes quite harsh, metallic, aggressive, bitter, kind of a weird, kind of nasty thing.
And annoyingly low pH.
So. Right. So, that happens with the acidity. And I think, the citrus type of hops kind of lend themselves to that. It's the same flavor kind of component. And you mix that with the highly kiln malts and it's offensive, like you're saying. I think... go with more, floral, earthy, noble hops. Centennial in this case, I guess it's okay. But I think, a better blend is maybe, something like Hallertau, something like that. Northern Brewer. Yeah, I think, like on your Janet's Brown, you use a lot of Northern Brewer. Yeah. And I think that it melds well with the highly kilned malts.
Yeah.
And it's a fine beer, but... I think it. If you were to go over what this does with the citrusy, I think it would be harsh.
Yeah.
So, hopefully that answers the question well.
It does, and we have a kind of a comment, I suppose, from Shaluka. He says, "I've noticed that citrus hops with dark malt result in a lavender type aroma." And Shuluko would like for you to comment on that if you've noticed that too, or if that's something that maybe he just kind of picks up on his own. Dark malts with citrus hops combined to form almost a lavender thing for him.
It
could be what he's getting.
A lot of lavender at times. The one thing that nobody can ever tell you you're wrong at is what you smell or taste. If you say I smell or taste lavender, then you obviously do. I don't know what you taste. I may just be blind to something like that. But I've gotten a lot of lavender out of a lot of hoppy beers. I don't know that it's necessarily tied to the real dark malts. I haven't really made that association, but I mean, I'll think about it going forward, and you know, that might be true.
Give me something to it.
Yeah, no, may be totally right, and sure. He's just exposed me to something that I never really thought about before. But I've gotten the lavender. I've never associated it with being citrus and dark. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to look for it now.
Yeah. Now, whoever gets your score sheets for the next 6 months is going to
say, "Well, yeah,
heavy lavender
because you're using the citrus with the dark malts."
That was it from the chat.
All right. Well, another good show. I think despite numerous issues here, not with Tasty and me, but
a few mishaps,
all these other people. It's who we got to work with. When's Justin going to be back? I don't know.
Fuck off. I'm doing my best. I wasn't hugged enough as a child.
You do a great job.
It's not you. It's me and Andy. It's
fine. Oh, no, Andy's fine. Andy's fine.
Andy's not fine.
Hey!
Andy's not. Right. Andy's far from.
If you get a chance, check out our sponsors, northernbrewer.com. Those folks are awesome. And if you put them in your fold of people you deal business with, you'll be thrilled. I guarantee it. AdamandEve.com, again, a high-quality sponsor. Check them out. They support this show, so you don't have to. Check out the Brewery Network store. Lots of great items in there. Until then, brew strong.
And often.